You're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. This is Coach Speak on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Good Tuesday morning, Northern Colorado. I am Tanner Schwint filling in for Coach Bruce Dick. He's got another camp today, so he is out. Stepping in, of course, and couldn't do the show without a couple of guests here in the studio with us. We've got Daryl Martin and Todd Smith from Proactive Physical Therapy in the Alla Fiber Studios. Fellas, how we doing? Daryl, how you doing over there, my man?
Doing well, Tanner. Thanks for having us.
Of course. Todd, how about you, man?
Great. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Is this the first time you guys have been in the studio?
No, I think a number of years ago, way back when,
maybe well, I first
Leah,
started, right?
Leah Faulkner.
Maybe. Oh, really?
Yeah.
And way back when.
Yeah, and I was in with you one time.
So I've attributed you two as one of the reasons why I got into talk radio, because I was a patient of yours quite a lot during high school because my body did not like to stay together, and you guys were getting me back and out there and going. And Todd, you can talk about this. Let's talk about Daryl for a moment here, because Daryl loves to argue about just about anything. Is that right?
That's true.
That's pretty true, right?
Days. Yeah.
And the sports takes that we had between the three of us in there were some of the highlights of physical therapy. And you and I used to go at it pretty good, Daryl.
Yes. And yeah. I take great credit in bringing you to this level. any success that you acquire in life when it regards to your professional development, I'll take credit for it.
It's our career, huh? It's our career. All right. I like that. I like that. But I think I'm batting 1,000 in our arguments against you. I think I'm winning every single one of them.
Keep thinking that.
All right. Yeah. All right, fellas. Well, we're going to talk a lot about what Proactive does and kind of walk through the journey, because it's only continuing to grow up here in Northern Colorado, and the work that you guys do is incredible, of course, in helping promote these athletes going on to the next level, and then anybody out there as well. So we'll dive a little bit into that. Of course, you two have a couple of young men who are very highly touted. I saw a list just came out about the top 10 baseball prospects here in the state of Colorado, and both are in the top 5 on that. So I want to talk about that process as well. But first, I want to say that Coach Speak is presented to you by Buildings by Design down in Brush. Travis Lefevre and company down there. Rent's going through the roof right now. You hear it all the time with everything going on, and it's a lot cheaper at this point just to build your own than it is to rent, and Buildings by Design can help take care of that. So let's start first with how did Proactive Physical Therapy come about? How did you two meet? How did you guys kind of start this whole thing out?
We opened up in 2008. Todd and I had worked previously in Greeley here together for a number of years in sports medicine setting at the hospital, and enjoyed that. And eventually we just kind of decided that we wanted to do our own thing. I met Todd through my twin brother through PT school. Todd and his wife went to PT school with my brother, and was fortunate enough to meet Todd through their friendship, and just got linked up and been at it for 20 plus years.
Is it 20 plus years now?
Something like that. There's a little bit more to that story, Tanner.
Is there?
Yeah.
Can you share it on air?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, all right. Got to check with you, too.
We stopped by. Regis didn't have a medical library, so we were down at CU, Dennis and I, and we stopped by. He wanted to introduce us to his brother. So we walked in, and in the corner was a life-size cutout of John Elway. And so I'm standing there admiring that, and they came over and introduced us, and I said, "Is this yours?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "I think you and I are going to be friends."
Yeah, is that right? Yeah. It was a John Elway cutout that got this thing started.
Yep.
I love that. And as any good Broncos fan should, it should be a John Elway cutout that gets it started. So then what was the process? Because you guys have, is it three locations now, right? Is it Brighton, Greeley, and Eaton? I know there's Proactives out there as well. But for you three, or for you two, and of course, everybody else, you've got some great therapists now at these other locations. So you get started. What's the first couple of years look like for you guys? Because I'm assuming you guys didn't hit gold right off the bat.
Well, we opened up in 2008 during that financial crisis because we're brilliant. And,
yeah, just wait for the banking system to collapse. Now might be a good time to open another one.
Right.
I don't know if you guys have been watching that. But
we opened up one in Brighton in 2020 because, again, we're brilliant. So Todd and I, we discussed that, but Kate Farner's doing a great job with those. And yeah, we have three, and it's the environment we've always wanted, that I've always wanted, and get to work alongside somebody, and now other therapists that have the same vision and passion. So
yeah, you guys have had some. I mean, do you keep track of some of the athletes that come through your doors? Because I would imagine you guys have had some incredible athletes from Northern Colorado come through your doors.
We do, and we love to. You know, when someone's finished, if someone, I don't think we have one of you, but we need to get it. the signed autographed photos that we have in the clinic, we hold those close.
Really?
You know, sometimes, not that you forget people, but you lose track of them. And sometimes you walk by and you see those, you know, people were kind enough to write those to us and to the clinic and thank us for the help.
Yeah, well, really you cool. guys do great work, and I'm not putting a picture up. We're doing a life-size cutout of me, and we're going to put it in there somewhere.
In the corner.
Corner, yeah, where it can collect dust back there.
98% mouth.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, these athletes, how did you guys find this passion to get them back out onto the field? Darryl, we'll start with you, and then Todd, we'll have you answer that as well. How did you find that passion to help these guys?
Well, in my case, it was my senior year. I got hurt and was taken care of by some great professional. Actually, Todd knew him at Regis. And my twin brother had the interest first, and I was going to be in education, but slowly found myself more interested in what he was studying and wanted to stay in sports, whether it be coaching or teaching. And this allows that in some way. And, you know, that sports medicine model, one of the things that Todd and I talk about and we're very passionate about is that sports medicine is not a patient. It's a model of care. And that care can be delivered to your highest level athlete in their youth and prime, or it can be to an 80-year-old man or woman who wants to get back to pickleball or golf or just taking care of their family or spouse. It can be customized. And so Todd and I, we talk about that a lot. We talk about that with our other providers that, you know, no matter the patient, the model, it fits. You just have to customize it to that individual,
right,
and their goals.
Todd, what is it about your job that gets you fired up, man?
You know, it used to be, you know, the athlete, and we always talk about that's what leads people to do this. Everybody wants to work with the athlete, kind of like Darryl alluded to. You know, athletes can be anybody, and we get people in. Used to be World War II vets. You know, nothing would get me behind more than you get a World War II vet telling you their experiences. Unfortunately, we don't have too many of those anymore. But you get people from the greatest generation telling you how it used to be, and you know some of the philosophical discussions you've been involved in.
Right.
That's kind of what makes me run nowadays. The athletes, we love the athletes, but athletes can be anybody.
Right. No, it is incredible. And that's what I like about you guys is that I think PT kind of sometimes gets a bad rep where it's like, oh, God, I just got to go do this. And the quicker I can get it over with, the better. And it's just like, OK, I'll do the motions and the stuff like that, the drills that are given to me so I can get better. But it's not just that with you guys. And this is, listen, I've had three different procedures that I've worked through back with you guys at Proactive. And it's really, it's a fun environment. It makes you want to work harder. You know, makes you want to get back, but you're enjoying it as well, because a lot of people roll their eyes when they're like, I got physical therapy today. You guys try and create that environment, I think you talked about a little bit, Darryl, where it's you want it to be enjoyable and welcoming when you get in there.
Yeah, no one wants to be there. And so to make it an environment that fosters enjoyment is a challenge. But one of the things, and Todd talks about this when we're mentoring other therapists or staff, is you know, we're like a restaurant or a bar. You know, we want it to be wide open. We want there to be communication. We want people to have shared experience. I mean, just yesterday I had a post-op knee that was 6 days out, talking to somebody that was 6 weeks out. And that was voluntary. That was them sharing their experiences. And it helped both of them. One was able to look and say, hey, that's where I was. Boy, I have improved a lot. And the other one's like, oh, man, there is hope.
Right.
It does get better. And so, you know, we really try to keep that open, be very respectful of people's privacy and their information and that type of thing, obviously, in today's day and age. But it's amazing what people want to share voluntarily, and we let that happen.
No, and that's important. But you look at the world, you know, of physical therapy and how much it's evolved. I mean, over 20 years, and the fact that you guys are staying up to date on all this, and now you guys are with the best thing about you guys, the smartest attributes you guys have is to surround yourselves with people that are strong in areas that you may be weak. I think that's a really important thing. But you talk about, you know, my brother was dealing with some plantar fasciitis in his heel, right, at some point, and he did some of the needling that you guys do and some of that stuff. And I was like, I didn't know they offered this. And how much has the industry changed in the 20 years that you guys have been doing it, Todd?
You know, quite a bit. You know, back in the, when we got out, we graduated in 98, you know, and back then it was, you know, you do what the physician says on the prescription. and don't deviate from that. Now it's the docs are sending them over, or people are direct accessing us directly because we are a direct access state, so people can come to see us without a prescription. Most insurances will accept that. But now the docs, when they send them over, it's like, hey, you know, we have one particular doctor here in town who his prescription says, hey, low back pain, make better. and that's what he sends us with. And we appreciate that. I mean, this is what we do. There's a lot of things that physicians do that we don't know how to do. I don't know anything about diabetes and about that kind of thing. But,
that was my next question. So thanks for telling me not to ask that.
There's no way to mobilize that. So I can't make that move. So, so it's changed with that. A lot more autonomy, I think.
Yeah.
The needling, that's been around, I don't know, about 10 years or so, I think. Mm-hmm. Daryl and I were the first two. We had to be in the first four or five in the state, I think, to start doing that. It's pretty commonplace now, so we're proud of that. We were all over that before.
You were. Okay, this might be a very stupid question, but you see these athletes with the cut marks on their back. Does it do anything? Does the cupping actually do anything, and what does it do?
We don't have it. We don't do a lot of it. I'm sure there's some, various diagnoses or afflictions that it may be beneficial. It's not a modality we like to employ. Probably the biggest modality that is the newest, and we got this right before COVID hit, but is the blood flow restriction cuff. And
yeah,
you're going to see more and more of that. It's in every training room across the country now, and therapy clinic. But it's 800 peer-reviewed studies on the benefits of training with that, and our fracture care, post-operative care, that has been a real – we need another one. That thing runs all day.
Yeah.
And we as a clinic, we have to navigate when it's open and how we structure that. But it's an expensive modality, but it's a really good modality, and there's tons of – evidence to support its use.
Actually, NASA is the one that started that.
Yeah,
really.
Kind of the technology with that.
Yeah. Is that the only comparison you guys have to NASA?
we're both rocket scientists.
Are you okay? I didn't know
we build rockets every day.
So you're telling me that cupping is just more for the cool look and everything on the back of that they've been putting in work? Because I laugh at it every time I see it. I'm like, what does that actually do?
Well, Michael Phelps is the one who kind of brought that to light there.
But it's like, why? I don't understand it. I think it's just a show-off thing.
Yeah, I always try not to talk about things I'm not trained on. And
yeah.
It looks like a hickey to me.
And, yeah, it does. It does.
It's not something we employ a lot. Not discounting its use.
Right. No, I am. They're not. 10:18 the time. Let's get a break. We're going to come back on the other side. We're going to talk a little bit about what this recruitment process has been like and what the great athletes that these two have raised have coming up. It's Coach Speak on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into the Owl Fiber Studios. It is Coach Speak. I am Tanner Schwint in for Coach Bruce Dick today, joined by Daryl Martin and Todd Smith from Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. Can we just get this out of the way? From everybody in Northern Colorado outside of Eaton, can you quit winning everything? Can we get over that? Can we be done with that?
Well, we have nothing to do with it other than we're there a lot and wearing a lot of Eaton gear. But,
yeah, that was one of the things early on. That was the first – being a Platte Valley graduate, of course, you know the rivalry that was there for a while. It sucks because that's kind of going away, I feel like, the rivalry among schools. And I'll say this. You guys don't have to jump in on this. I'll say this again so that I can take the heat. Tanner at 1310kfk.com if you want to email me. The fact that university football tries to say they're rivals with Eaton football makes no damn sense to me. It can't be a rivalry at least one team's once. It's got to start there first. So it seems like in high school athletics, we're losing that sense of rivalry. And I think a lot of that is because the CHASA adjustments to the conferences are all over the place. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's largely true. But I think the other thing is social media. I mean, these kids, they communicate now. I mean, when I grew up, the town 6 miles to either direction of us, we didn't speak to them at all.
Right.
You didn't even dream of picking up a phone and putting a phone call in. And if you saw somebody, you just kind of nodded your head. You really didn't interact with them. These kids now have, unbridled access to one another, and they communicate a great deal. So I don't know, Todd.
Well, most of them are friends,
right?
You know, and hang out together. You know, you know, after the baseball championship last year, you know, they're having a little get together barbecue, and here come the university guys and hugs all around. You know,
yeah. Is that because of club sports? Has club sports taken this in a new direction too? Because everybody's playing on the same team outside of the sports season.
In our situation for Walker, I would say no. Riley, with her club sports and playing up at Norco here, I mean, she certainly has more interaction with Northern Colorado athletes, peers of hers, and they've grown great friendships in that process. Walker, I'll speak for him. I mean, a lot of his are across the country now. I mean, he'll be, you know, whatever they do, talking to somebody in Florida or Georgia, or now with the recruiting process in Arkansas. And so, and Riley, I mean, every day she's on the phone, you know, communicating with her future teammates up in South Dakota. So, the conference to me, I don't think has made a big difference. I don't know.
It's like you say, it's so hard to even track, you know, who's 4A, 3A, what conference now. I don't even think they call them the Patriot anymore.
No. It's division or B or something like that, right? Yeah. I that is the part of it. And listen, maybe I'm wrong on this. And I think Chassa, I've got a lot of question marks when it comes to Chassa. I think they do some really good things. But the movement of conferences to, like, you know, having Gunnison or something like a school like that in a classification or in a division with a bunch of schools from Northern Colorado makes no damn sense to me.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about the financial aspect of that, right?
For them, yeah. Steamboat was the one that comes
Steamboat,
to mind.
Yes,
in
that's
football,
right.
I'm like, those kids are going to be living on a bus all fall.
Right.
Which that can't help their performance, but you know, just the economics of it have got to be pretty oppressive as well.
Right. And, you know, I just those crosstown rivalries in high school athletics are so huge. I mean, we had a principal out at Platte Valley. His name was Brad Jones. Incredible, incredible dude. Really like Brad. And I think you guys, Parker and Brad and everybody.
He's going to school now, yeah.
Yeah, he is. These guys, Brad would walk around, and if he saw a single person on the Friday that we were playing Eaton wearing red, he would make them go either cover it up or change. Yeah. I love that. That's, you know, those are the traditions that the schools are built upon throughout. And it kind of sucks that that's starting to go away a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's the beauty of sports, and at any level, is, you know, those traditional rivalries that kind of spark excitement within the community for sure and within the school.
No, because this is sports and high school sports. Listen, we can talk about fans getting, you know, and parents getting overexcited for it and going too far on stuff, but sports is the one area where we could sit here and we can disagree wholeheartedly, yell at each other, scream at each other, shake each other's hands, say good luck. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's the one thing. And high school sports seems, you know, and in my opinion, I don't know if you guys want to talk about it, but a lot of this started with some of the COVID stuff that came into play. When high schools overall started to become more politicized, I think you started to see some of this start to go away, some of this where it's not as much truly about the kids and truly about the athletics as it is making it fit into this mold. Would you guys agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we talk about that a lot. You know, I go back to 2020 when after the state wrestling tournament, you know, University was going for their third straight state championship in baseball, and they were loaded again for Bear. And had a very good chance of winning that. And, you know, Eaton, they had a lot of talent, a lot of younger talent, but you had great senior leadership that was in place. And, you know, you had kids like Ryan Ure as well. And
Rez was right there.
And, of course, Rez basketball, you know.
The Highland, Highland and Rez were going to win it that year. Yeah. They shut it down middle of the tournament.
And, I reflect on that, and I'm like, you know, first of all, I feel so bad for those seniors.
Yeah.
But all of them, you know, that's an opportunity they'll never get back, and we'll never know. In my mind, I would love to have known how that baseball season would have played out.
Right.
It may very well ended up with UH winning their third, and maybe Eaton comes up second. You never know, but those kids will never get that back. And I that's very unfortunate.
Well, yeah, and the one that I go to instantly is an athlete from around here that you guys are very well aware of in Remington Ross, and Remy Ross, right? I mean, she had won so many state championships in track and field, right? And she would have went and done it again that next year. We know that. And so, you know, when it comes to recruiting cycles, when it comes to that, I would imagine, and you guys can speak a little bit more about this as Tate and Walker and Riley have been going through this, but what do colleges still look at team success as well as individual performance? Is that something that they monitor?
Yeah, you know, I think they look at that, and at least in Tate's experience, it's been he likes to let them know that, you know, that, you know, you in baseball, club baseball, we go out, you know, you go out to Georgia, you play against the top kids in the country, you have a great day or you get lit up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you kind of tuck your hat, you get on the plane, you come home, nobody knows about it, you know. In Eton or University or Res, you know, baseball's a big deal, and it's a different kind of stress to stand on the mound in Eton. You know, you got the university guys screaming at you. You got all the old guys from Eton with the expectation that you win. You know, you don't lose to Platte Valley, you don't lose to whoever. So I think a lot of these college coaches and some of the scouts, they're seeing that. They like to know that you come from a place where winning is an expectation and that you've done some of that.
Yeah, and being a part of a team is huge, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can't recruit a bunch of individuals.
Yeah. You know, I think every coach is looking for, you know, you hear about makeup. You know, mm-hmm. you hear about all the tools of, you know, baseball. But then you hear them talk about makeup. And you can be as tooled up players as anyone in the country, but if you don't have that makeup, I think that's a big disadvantage. So they're always looking for somebody who's a great teammate, who's competitive, that competitive excellence, and knows how to win and hates to lose. And character. I mean, I think all that's so important.
No, it is. And I know you guys have been dealing with a lot of these recruits for both of your boys, specifically on the baseball side of things. Some of the top recruits here coming out of the state of Colorado, they're your two boys. That's got to be an immense sense of pride for both of you, right?
It's been a lot of fun, you know, and I've learned a lot about things that I didn't think I would ever know anything about.
Yeah.
But it's been a blessing, and we're fortunate.
Yeah, it's Todd and I were actually talking about a little bit on the way here. I mean, you know, the college recruitment process for Tate and Walker and Riley, you know, all three were extremely different just for our household. You know, Riley was in control of all of it. She didn't want us to even be in the room if she was on a call. She coordinated everything. She did a great job with it. And, you know, it was intense, but it was different. And in Walker's case, it was it was a long process, and now you compare that to the scouting side of it. I enjoyed the college part of it better.
Did you?
I really did. Yeah, it was more enjoyable.
Why?
It's been a lot.
Yeah.
And certainly not complaining.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but, you know, just a lot of meetings, and I think Todd would probably echo that as well. You get to meet a lot of really great people, but it is a lot of time, and it can be a little bit, at times you're like, ah, do we have to have another meeting?
Right.
But it's been great family time. Sarah's been great kind of coordinating everything. And I can't say enough about Riley. She's been so supportive and really been a part of every meeting that she's been able to. And
yeah.
She was at practice with club or whatever else, but never complained once.
Todd, how do you step back? Well, you know, it is a whirlwind, right? But you also know that you've only got a couple years left of the, you know, quote-unquote childhood for your kid, right? How do you step back and get the work done but still enjoy the process? Has that been something as a dad that you've had to deal with a little bit?
Well, you know, there's 43 days of school left. I learned that this morning. You know, so that kind of slaps a guy up alongside the head.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know. But, you know, we at our house, we just, you know, a good friend of ours, we learned a little saying that we hold close to the heart is keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so every day, you know, you just take what comes, enjoy it while you can, and hopefully we'll get watch a little bit more baseball at the next level.
Yeah.
Would be super. And, you know, we still have Madeline, too. So
yeah.
She's learning a lot from this. She's learned a lot from Riley as far as she's a volleyball player as well, too. So
right.
She ought to be an expert after watching these three go through all this. So.
No, I would imagine so. Riley, you said just kind of took control. Is that just the difference between teenage boys and girls? Is that just she wanted to do it her way?
I think just aptitudes. You know, I think Riley's going to, you know, she's thinking about education, and I think she'll run a very structured, enjoyable, highly professional classroom. You know, Walker, I think he... And in his defense, it was a lot more to coordinate.
Right.
But I have no doubt Riley would have probably just owned it.
Yeah.
Walker really looked for feedback, and and so that was fine. It's just unique path for each. And but, yeah, it was enjoyable. I'm proud of both of them for how they handled it. I would say, you know, the ability to communicate and write and, you know, listen – great education for both of them.
Right. Well, and no matter what's next, right, for any of these kids that are going on to the next level, it's really an interview period where you're interviewing with all these different people. And we talk about a lot in this world because of these things right here, these phones that we've got, that face-to-face interaction. A lot of our youths struggle with that now. A lot of these, you know, whether it is FaceTime, you're still looking at somebody, whatever. Does this help these kids for future on and in other skills, and no matter where their athletic career goes?
You know, my wife and I have talked about that a lot, you know, with Tate. If it all ended tomorrow, the skills that he's learned by having to talk to these guys and meet with these guys face to face, he's miles ahead of where I was even after college as far as interview skills go. I mean, Walker and Riley are the same. It's amazing. I mean, it makes you proud. I remember, I think it was trying to remember the school the first time. I think he was a sophomore when he had the opportunity to talk to but anyway, you know, I made him write everything down. Here's how we're going to do this. And it was awkward. I mean, it was painful at the end. But now, you know, you listen to the kids and they sound like they're running for office, running for governor, you know, and it makes you proud. I mean, you know, sports are short. The opportunity to do that kind of thing, no matter where it turns out, those are life skills that are going to just hopefully make them great people in society.
No, absolutely. We're talking with Todd Smith and Daryl Martin with Proactive Physical Therapy about the recruiting process. And I want to dive in more when we come back about, you know, as parents, you know, and relationship side of things. How does this work for you guys? What type of a toll does it take? And how do you guys step back and enjoy it? So we'll talk about that next. You're listening to Coach Speak on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. No, that was not a mistake. I will be doing play-by-play for high school baseball coming up here. Starting quite possibly next week, we'll have a couple of games for you coming up on the schedule. We're going to be doing something new this year. We're going to be doing a fan vote for the game that we're going to be going out to. So be staying tuned on social media for that. I am Tanner Schwint. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. It's Coach Speak. In studio with us is Todd Smith and Daryl Martin from Proactive Physical Therapy. Of course, their sons play at Eaton High School right now. A lot of success coming out of there, on pace for another state championship in high school baseball this year. But we're talking about the recruiting process. And I thought we interesting dialogue off the air. You were talking about a little bit, Daryl. Colorado baseball players are at a disadvantage in your mind. Why?
Well, it's not just necessarily my mind. It's been brought up to specifically Walker. You know, in his as a position player, as a hitter versus a pitcher. I mean, Colorado's got a great reputation for pitching. Roy Halladay and Goose Gossage. All, you know, it goes back some time. But from a hitting perspective, it's less so. I don't think there's been a position player, a prep player from position level drafted since 1997 in the first three rounds.
Wow.
And that was Darnell McDonald. And I didn't know that until it was pointed out to us by Major League Baseball. But, they ask, what's your process? How do you do that? And, really it took Walker leaving the state of Colorado in the summers to – I don't know where he would be without that. I know we wouldn't be where we're at.
Right.
I feel very confident in that. And I'm very thankful to Coach Hernandez with his willingness to, you know, be receptive and encouraging of that for Walker as a player. And I think Tate as well. And Coach Lemon, from a football perspective, even this year, you know, we played TCA and Tate and Walker come straight from area code games. And Coach Lemon was like, hey, I know you guys, I know your goals. We're here to support those. When you're here, you're here. And that hurt his team, I'm sure. But thankfully, in our in Walker's case, and I think Tate's as well, had some coaches that were willing to do what was best for the kid. And I'm forever grateful for that.
Likewise.
Well, and that's just it's kind of a tough line to walk, right? When you talk about adding club sports in there as well, because you get coaches, their job is to have success, grow young men and women at the high school level. And now there are some great club organizations out there. We also know there's some faulty club organizations out there that don't run it the exact same way. How tough of a line is that for you guys? Todd, did you guys have to walk with a balancing it out of, yeah, we're still committed to the school. We still want to bring that pride that you talked about, but we also need to shine the spotlight on them.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were fortunate enough to have a lot of good counsel with that as we went along. We tried not to disenfranchise the school or put the school in any positions that weren't beneficial to them. I don't think we did that. But again, like Daryl said, the coaches have been just great in letting these boys kind of live out their dream and see where this thing goes.
It's a new age mentality, that split, because, I mean, even when you guys were coming out, I would even go back to when I was going through high school athletics, club sports was really just starting to get on the rise. The one thing that worries me about club athletics, and you guys can speak a little bit about this, is the business side of it. There seem to be almost pricing some people out at the club sport level, where there are some organizations who are all about the bottom dollar, not, hey, let's just get this covered, do what you can here, and then we'll get out there. I get some of that as just the way that the cookie crumbles at points. But is club sports still good for high school athletics?
I think it certainly can be. I think you have to be selective with what you want to do. And I think, whether it's baseball or volleyball or whatever, I mean, if you want to play here and you want to stay here, there's great avenues to do locally that are more affordable, that can help develop you and make you a better high school player, certainly. But as far as, if you have a kid that has an ability to play at a higher college level, potentially go that route. I think you have to find a place where you're going to go get in front of those coaches, and that requires, California, Arizona, Texas, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. I mean, that's where the summer is. And so, but it can be, but it takes communication from the kid with their coaches. We made Walker and Riley both communicate with their coaches, their schedules, and if there was conflicts, and then they did what was expected of them from their high school. And then just had a lot of support from the high school level. But I think it can. I mean, I don't think it has to be an adversarial relationship. I just don't. Mm-hmm. Real quick, Todd, one of the things I think, and again, I echo District Coach Hernandez, he has been 100% supportive of these kids in doing this. And I don't know that that's the case. I think culturally in high school baseball, specifically talk about that, if a high school baseball coach is expecting all of their players to play in the state with them together, I think you're probably going to be holding some kids back. Maybe not all of them.
Is that just geographically because of where we're at, or do you think the summer baseball programs in the state need some improvement?
I think it's a mentality and a culture that hasn't changed, and I think other states have been more progressive with it. I am incredibly thankful for Coach Hernandez and the Eaton administration for that.
No, and that's a very big important part. But what are your thoughts on that, Todd?
Well, going back to the age group that Tate and Walker play in, that the two of the top teams come out of Slammers. Another one was the Yard Dogs. A lot of really good kids on there, and I know both of those organizations. If there's a kid who monetarily can't cut it but has the talent, they've both been really good about bringing those kids in.
And,
some of the pitching coach that Tate works with down at Slammer South. I was talking to a patient this morning about a kid. That couldn't afford to have him help. And, the guy did it out of the kindness of his heart. He just wants to be involved with baseball, wants to do the right thing for the kids. And I think that there are avenues there. If you have the talent, number two, but number one, if you have the heart and the willingness to want to work and go to do what it takes. I mean, it's not easy to be. I mean, our boys have been gone 2020. I think they were gone all but four days in the month of July.
Wow.
They're just gone. They're in Georgia. They're in the South. They're in Florida, you know. But that's what they like to do. That's what they love to do.
Right.
And, you know, fortunately we were able to help them with that. But there were a lot of kids there who were getting some help from the organization, which I think is great.
No, it's huge. And finding those people who are doing it the right way is a huge first step in that. Do you ever worry about burnout? Not maybe necessarily with your two kids, because obviously the passion is there, right? When you talk about baseball, the passion is there. Do you worry about burnout when it comes to club sports, putting that on top of, you know, regular season sports? Or is that something that is maybe just a narrative that's talked up too much?
I think it's individual for the kid. You know, some kids, that's not going to work for. From a physical therapy standpoint, from a professional standpoint, you know, you have to watch that, the overuse and the burnout. You know, you get a kid that's playing tennis and playing volleyball, but those are both overhead swings. You know, you only get so much of that before that's going to start to bother.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's individual with the kid. You know, I remember. A certain kid that used to play with Tate Walker, and we lost a state championship when they were 12 or 13. It was a U.S. AAA team, and he rode home with us. And he stopped at our house. His parents were going to come pick him up, and he went to my barn. And I'm like, where'd this kid go? He's out in the barn hitting.
Wow.
You know, he's hitting off the tee. And I'm like, it's the end of the season, you know, but the kid loved baseball.
Right.
And so he's going to go play collegiately here locally, and great kid, but there wasn't too much for him.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. No, and that individuality of it is huge. And kind of going back to where you were talking about, Daryl, about shining the spotlight on these kids, not necessarily with baseball up here, but I go to the football standpoint, and you look at the old regimes that we had here in Northern Colorado, you know, at CSU with Steve Adazio. Ed McCaffrey did a horrible job at this as well, of recruiting locally. Mm-hmm. That was just they were bad at it. They weren't here. Mm-hmm. And now I think we've got some guys in the position now with Ed Lamb at UNC and Jay Norvell over at CSU. But it takes those people stepping forward and starting to recruit locally as well. Not regardless of the sport, Northern Colorado has some damn good players here. Baseball is a hotbed up here. Football is a hotbed up here. But hell, you look at basketball, and you had four or five teams in the Final Four in different classifications this year from Northern Colorado. So the talent level and the pool is growing just by people naturally moving in. But that talent level is growing. Hopefully people start to identify that. 10:50 the time. Let's get one more break. We'll come back and wrap it up next right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK. Before the time. We're live from the Allo Fiber Studios. It's Coach Speak. I am Tanner Schwint. In for Coach Dick today, Daryl Martin and Todd Smith hanging out from Proactive Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. All right, you guys are both diehard Broncos fans. Let's jump there for a minute. What are your thoughts on some of the moves yesterday made by Sean Payton, George Payton, the Payton brothers, and the Walton Pinner Group? What did you think about the offensive line kind of getting shored up?
They can't hurt. Whatever moves we made can't hurt.
That's a very good point. Is Russell Wilson washed, or will he be better next year?
Build on that, getting worse would be a greater challenge.
Yeah.
You know, the floor is a great place to rise from. So we can hope.
Yeah, we can hope. Was Nathaniel Hackett that bad?
I think the decision to just bring him on board was a bad decision. I don't know who owns that.
Yeah.
It is Payton, but I think that was poorly researched.
Yeah.
A lot of due diligence was not done, you know, when making that decision. That's my opinion.
No, I agree with that. And I was looking, you know, you look back and it just takes a couple of years. You go back and look and you look at he wasn't calling the plays in Green Bay. That was LaFleur who was still calling those. You look back at Jacksonville. He had one really good year with Blake Bortles that went to they were in the AFC Championship in Jacksonville, which is weird to even say. But then the next year he got all the play calling responsibilities and they fired him halfway through the year. So that was horrible. Sean Payton, boom or bust. Is he going to be good or is he going to be a bust here, Todd?
Again, he can't. It can't be any worse. So I'm pulling for the guy. I mean, he's had success in the past, and he's proven he's done it. He's been there. We can always just hope.
Yeah.
Hope we're going to get there.
Right.
So,
have you guys started shopping at Walmart more since the Walton Pinner Group bought the Broncos?
No, but, been to Fayetteville, Arkansas a few times here. That's the home of Walmart. So we hear all about that Walmart money. And, I think they're showing they're willing to spend it.
Yeah, that Walmart money came in huge yesterday.
Yeah.
I think they had $33 million in cap space and spent something like $59 million yesterday for this coming year. So they're willing to eat it, man. I guess it's exciting. You guys follow the NBA at all? Nuggets going to win it this year?
I've watched a little bit. I'll tell you, I thoroughly enjoy watching Nikola Jokic play.
Agreed.
I mean, he plays the game the right way.
Oh, yeah.
The skill. I think we went to a game maybe last year, and he made a three-quarter court pass that just overhand. It was so skilled.
Yeah,
it's refreshing to watch, and I just love it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we need it too, because college athletics here in the state has been horrible. Coach Prime, how's Prime going to do down at CU?
Well, everybody's buying a shirt, so yeah. He's already a winner,
Todd's a CSU guy, and he's even contemplated wearing some of the buff gear. Leadership is so important, and he has that in spades. I think he has character. I do think he's very passionate about winning, but I think he wants to do it the right way, and there's a lot of flash with it.
There is. The flash is even starting to get a little annoying to me already this early on. But how about your Rams next year, man? How many wins do they get? Did you look at the schedule yet?
Man, we better talk about the Buffs some more.
Do the Rams beat the Buffs next year?
I don't see it.
No?
Not with the recruiting class they've had.
Yeah, that is
the
true.
Buffs, I mean, what are they?
But they're like
top
number
10?
Yeah, I think number
in
2 in the nation, maybe.
High?
But
yeah,
I think they're that high. But you got to worry about the depth at that point, though. Do they have the depth? Yeah. So it's going to be good. Fellas, thanks so much for your time today. I thoroughly enjoy this. How do people get a hold of Proactive Physical Therapy to get in there with you guys and learn a little bit more?
We're just right across from Ames, Union Colony. The big white water tower is in our parking lot, 970-506-4066.
Gentlemen, appreciate your time. Great catching up with you.
Thanks
for all the support you provide for us here at the station as well. Means a lot. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we've got the Weld County All-Star Game that Coach Bruce Dick and Blake Olson will be on the call for. The best high school basketball players from Weld County will be playing in that one. The whole show's coming up next. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday tomorrow. We'll talk to you then, Northern Colorado.